Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties, but now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hey, listeners, welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do every week, and then I shared one of you, our amazing listeners, who is using our hashtag. That's hashtag STR Share Sunday. We will share you on Sunday to our Instagram account, and we'll also share you here on the podcast, which also means on our email list that goes out every Thursday, which, by the way, if you're not on what we call the check-in, I'll put a link in the show notes that you can join our email list and get all the amazing content we put out every week, not just here on the podcast, but also on YouTube and everywhere else in the World Wide Web. But Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at Lake Arrowhead Manor. Again, that's at Lake Arrowhead Manor. And talking about a celebrity stay is what they tout. I'm here for
it. I feel FOMO. I want to be a celebrity.
It's like, tell me more about these celebrities. But I just want to let you know, we have been really chatting about pets recently. Man, this place is pet friendly, dog friendly. Check it out. They've got a ton of animals in their feed and they're super cute. And they've done some holiday decorating, really nice touches, very classy. I want you to check out the way that they have done that. And they're actually, you know, marketing to that, letting people know if they're booking their stay during the holiday months, that they're going to be able to enjoy the mountains with the snow and their holiday touches. But they've got it dialed in. Go through their feed. They're making sure like all of the things that they can highlight inside their property and outside of their property, they are just making sure to go over it again and again and again. And I know as hosts, when we're posting on social media, we feel like maybe we're going over these same things. It's okay. People need to see the same message over and over and over again. We are inundated with ads. We're inundated with information. You've got to continually put out, what are those highlights? What is that amazing hot tub that they have? They have amazing views. They're close to the lake. They're letting us know. And I just want to encourage you, once you think you're saying it too much, say it again and again and again. It matters. We've got to be our own marketing firm, our own marketing agency. And Lake Arrowhead Manor is crushing it, making sure that their potential guests know what they have to offer. And I do love their holiday touches and their amazing hot tub. Sarah, we have somebody who is always marketing herself and her properties, but she's doing it for long-term rentals. We're going to kind of flip the script today.
Right. Before you think that this episode's not for you, I just finished refinancing an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And if you think that has anything to do with winter, stay tuned. If you know it has nothing to do with winter, still stay tuned, because we have an impressive woman on the show today. Jessie Lang is a buy and hold investor with over 70 rentals. That's right, 70, which most of these she's accrued since 2021 in Columbus, Ohio. She's used the Burr method to acquire her portfolio with little to no money of her own left in the deals. She teaches others how to do the same. Plus, a little bonus content, we are going to go over her process for qualifying residents, because if you are even considering midterm rentals, you need to understand that you are no longer than hosting guests. You are hosting residents, you are hosting tenants, and laws kick into place that you weren't used to. And getting someone to remove themselves from your property if they don't want to might be a bigger issue. So stay tuned for all those details. My favorite tip from Jessie, I think, Annette, might be what application process she uses for her residents.
Yeah, easier than you think.
Jessie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Jessie, we are excited for the content you're going to share here, because you actually don't own any short-term rentals and you truly want nothing to do with them. Isn't that right?
Not a one.
But it's funny, because I'll talk to Jessie, I'm like, I have no idea how you handle these long-termers and like all the things that go on with it. But I have had some questions for Jessie over the past several months, because I take the midterm rental thing really seriously, because they turn into tenants. I know nothing about that world. And I was like, my friend Jessie does. But also, Jessie, I want you to explain to our listeners what you've accomplished over the past few years with the Burr method, because no matter if it's for a long-term or a short-term, the Burr method works. And Nick and I are doing it right now. We just refinanced out of it. Why did that refinance take forever? But that's besides the point. Jessie, tell us who you are and then educate us in case someone's not familiar with the Burr method as well. But
yeah,
take them back to like before you started investing in real estate and how the heck you got to where you're at today.
Well, again, thanks for having me. And my name is Jessie Lang. I teach people to buy and manage long-term, not short-term rentals. And I got started kind of by accident. I was an accidental landlord about 10 years ago. So you've probably heard, you know, from quite a few people who real estate's now a career, it's like you just fell into it. And that was my story. So, you know, they say buy a house, get a job, have kids, get married, blah, blah, blah. So I did some of it. I bought a crappy little condo in Austin, Texas. I had roommates. So my partner at the time was a roommate, and I had a Craigslist roommate, if that dates, you know, where we were. It was before Facebook Marketplace even. And in a very, very short amount of time, I went from just living my life to split up with my partner. And I had 4 college boys living in my house, you know, in the matter of 2 weeks. So it was crazy. And I was completely making it up as I went. This was 10 years ago. And honestly, I kind of fell into it. I didn't even know that like real estate was a serious career until about 2017, I moved to Columbus from Austin. By this point, I had a couple rentals under my belt and was like, this is pretty awesome. I'm making money, but I didn't know like real estate could be your career. So I'm going to meetups and I'm introduced to a bunch of people and I'm introduced to the Burr method. So that's what we're here to talk about today is the Burr method. And I learned that the skill set I had and the experience I had put together in a different strategy and a different package could result in like extreme growth. So I went head over heels. Like January 2021, I pretty much moved strictly to the Burr method of investing. And since then, we went from about 11 doors that I was buying like conventionally to 70 that we just closed this week. So that's about, it's, you know, 60 or so doors in under 3 years.
Let's unpack a few things first. Yeah. Have you slept in the past 3 years?
Yes. Yeah. Because we have systems and processes, which you understand.
Yes. But okay. First of all, okay. I get that you were kind of house hacking in Austin. That happened by accident. You had roommates. You owned the condo and everyone was paying you, Jesse. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then how did you get the idea of just the first rental? Like just you saw the value of your roommates paying you and you not having to pay a mortgage. And so that's what got you to buy your first rental?
I don't even think it was that. It was that I knew it would be crazy to sell the condo. And it was like 2014, 15 in Austin, Texas. That would have been crazy. So I knew better than that. I knew that I couldn't emotionally live there myself. And I knew that I couldn't pay two mortgages or, you know, a rent and a mortgage. So it was like the only choice.
Okay.
Got it. So I was like, well, shoot, let me get someone else in here real quick to pay the rent. But okay. I had never done a long-term lease or anything. So in the matter of 2 weeks, like I got the house ready. I got the paperwork ready. I found the people. It was like I said, four college boys, and they could have ruined my investing career before it ever got started. But thankfully, they were really good.
So then you moved to Columbus. Is that where you buy the next 10 or 11 or what yes. happened when you moved here? Okay. Before 2021.
Yeah. So, you know, I got the taste of it. Like in Austin, I had, you know, moved out. I was renting for a little bit, saved up a little bit more money. I bought another house that I lived in with roommates. Next year, I did it again. So at this point, I have roommates where I live plus two long-term rentals. And again, it's still all just a complete hobby. I'm like, okay, well, you know, it makes money and I sell my W-2 and I didn't even understand like appreciation, principal pay down. I just was like, these people pay me money every month and they keep letting me buy houses. So like, let's do it.
Let's go.
I had three under my belt by the time I moved to Columbus and decided to take it more seriously. But I was buying it either owner finance, like owner occupant financing or conventional 20% down. I did not know about the Burr method.
Okay. Unpack the Burr acronym. What is it for someone who's never heard of it? They have dreams of just owning a vacation rental in the middle of the Smokies, but I want them to understand the power of the Burr method. So take us through it, like if we're like first hearing it for the first time.
Yep. So if you're thinking like it's about like snowflakes or you know, snowmen or something like that. People get that wrong all the time. It stands for, it's B-R-R-R-R, four R's. It stands for buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. So you take the money, you do it again. Now, the idea is that you're buying a distressed asset with room to add value and force appreciation to the point that you can refinance it and pull out all of your initial investment between the purchase and the rehab.
Got it.
That's the perfect Burr.
I got to play devil's advocate right now. Are there any Burrs left?
Yes. Yes, there are. I promise.
In A or B neighborhoods?
Fewer.
No, I want to keep it, you know, honest in that of like, I just obviously we know where interest rates are and like people have been trying to do like, the Burr method is very popular and it's like, is a Burr property something that I could go to the MLS and find today, do you think?
We just bought one.
Okay. Tell us the real-time one that you just bought, if you could.
So it hit the MLS. I think it was listed for 105, maybe?
On in the MLS.
On the MLS. Okay. In Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Between kind of Bexley and Whitehall area, if you are familiar at all. Little 3-1 ranch, no basement, attached garage. It was listed for 105. And I mean, it needed a full cosmetic, full mechanical.
Okay.
So I think we ended up paying like 116. So over ask. There was a competition. We put about 33 into it. Let me get my calculator. And it just appraised for 185.
Okay.
185.75, because that's how much the bank will get me, is 138. So it's not perfect, but it's pretty darn close in an appreciating market.
Okay.
So yeah. 138 minus, we put like 33 minus 116. So we have a little bit of money into it. But I mean, it's a deal.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the real time numbers on that property.
I'm not afraid to ask you these questions, Jesse, because I know that you talk about this all day, every day. Share with our listeners, like down to like, you've created a science when it comes to this. I mean, you know how much you're spending when you go into a property and it's distressed and you're seeing if you want to buy it or not. What are you asking yourself so that it can be as close to a perfect borough as possible when it comes, like, how are you calculating that so fast? There's not a lot of time to hem and haw, like you have to decide. So how have you perfected that process and what tips and tricks can you give our listeners for them to understand what they have to be ready to do to be able to get a deal like this?
Yeah, so it's fast, especially when there's multiple offers. You can't dilly-dally. I would say my biggest, you know, security that allows me to move this quickly is my team. It's the people that I work with. So RGC, I have worked with exclusively for 2 years, which in a contractor relationship is a really long
very
time.
Rare.
Yeah, because they kind of come and go. So, you know, we've been together exclusive. They've done probably 40, coming up on 50 properties for me. And I get my GC in with me on the first walkthrough because we've established that relationship. And, you know, I'm not wishy-washy. Like, they tell me how much it costs. I make the offer. If I get the offer, we do the project. Mm-hmm. They can count on me. I can count on them.
Yeah. And you mean like your relationship with your GC, he tells you it's going to cost you $40,000 to get to where you want to go. And you don't even like question that at this point.
No. I mean, at this point, no.
Yeah.
But we do the same flooring, the same paint. This is different than you would do in short term, right? Where the aesthetics are much more important and you have personality. We're going for the cookie cutter method because I can move my materials between projects. If we have too much and not enough, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to pick finishes every time. So, I mean, when we're doing a punch list, it takes me less than half an hour.
Right.
In the property because we're just doing the same thing.
That being said, the listeners, something you could know is like, I know about how much the luxury vinyl that I like to use is going to cost per square foot. I know about how much it costs, you know, Sarah Karakayan spends on a furnishing. You know, I know that I get the best paint so it's washable. You know what I mean? But I know the cost of those things. And then I also know that I'm going to leave some extra room for making it, you know, special and have special touches, whether that's wallpaper or special lighting or whatever. So you can take this, the same concept, right, Jesse, and just make sure that it's not just the renovation. It's also going to be the furnishing of it. And maybe listeners are thinking about a midterm rental, right? Where it doesn't have to be as glitz and glammy or as unique. It still has to be a solid rental with great furniture, but you can understand how much it costs to furnish a certain amount of square feet. And you could do that math.
And I think like, regardless of what your exit is, it's all just planning.
Right.
Like if you plan for the exit that you are aiming to, then as long as the numbers work, it doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
All of your properties are buy and hold though. Right now. Correct. All right. You also know what the market rent would be as you're walking those properties. Okay. Because I'm just thinking from, you know, obviously you're at this 70 doors, I think you said. I'm just thinking for someone doing their first burr, like they don't have that GC to walk through with them. They don't have their team. They don't have their finishes. So take us back to the first one. What are some of the mistakes, some of the mishaps? Mm-hmm. Like someone that's working full time, they're maybe not going to be able to be the first person to walk through. They don't have that GC. What are some of the things that you could help them with to speed up the pace? Or is this something for someone that is working full-time and, you know, wanting to get into real estate this way? How did you fast track that? I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of like, really the number one thing is not being able to walk through with a GC. Like that's super powerful that you have that relationship.
Even if you haven't done work together before and it's your first project, why couldn't you have a GC with you?
Right. I mean, you could, I'm sure.
Yeah. So
have that relationship ahead of time. worked out?
It helps. So we teach people to build your team before you need them, which I'm sure you have similar concepts. So don't wait until the house you want hits the market to go looking for your GC.
Right.
Right. Use your networking, use your social media, use your personal connections. That's how I found everyone that I work with, truly.
Okay.
Is through the power of social media and the power of networking. I've had my team ready, and then the property hits, they know what you want to do because you have, you know, example photos. You have a budget, and then they can help you figure out, does it fit this budget? Like, they can help you. So you just want, I would not recommend as a newbie going alone.
What were some mistakes you made? That was a good question. Back in the day, Jesse, what were the mistakes? Even like early 2021, so just a few years ago.
All of them? Every mistake you can imagine? No. A big one was over-renovating. Hmm. Overdoing it for, you know, I'm in the affordable housing space. We're looking for clean, safe, affordable housing. We don't need a tile accent wall, you know. We're always doing LVT because I don't want to replace carpet every year, mm-hmm. but it doesn't need to be like super upgraded or high end or anything like that. I like granite because it's really durable, but you don't need granite. Mm-hmm. So I think in the beginning I was kind of like doing too much and it wasn't really adding to the appraised value or adding to my monthly rent.
Mm, okay. Fair enough. That can even get us short-term rentalers. It's like, it depends what market you're in and what kind of average daily rate you're going for sure. But there are definitely things where you can overdo it. No one's ever going to know that plumbing fixture is whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there are some sensible decisions that you can make. Okay, what else? Give us one more, Jesse.
Well, I was buying with conventional financing. That, to this day, is my number one. I wish I could have done different.
Let's talk about it. How did you fix that? How do you do that?
I didn't know that there was a different way. It can be really straightforward. You know, you do this, then you do this, but there's a lot of steps. This isn't just you're buying something stabilized and you maybe even already has a renter and you transfer ownership and call it a day. I mean, you're going through finding an off-market or on-market distressed property, a full renovation. You have to finance it two times. Like, I mean, there's a lot of steps, right? So no one explained all of that to me. So I didn't even know it was an option. I was my little W-2 and my rental income, I was just saving up my 20% and putting it down on the next one. And I had all this equity tied up in these properties that was my own money. When you burr the equity you create, you know, a portion of it, or if it's the perfect burr, all of it is money you created, right? But when you put 20% down, there's equity, but it's your money as the equity. So I was just saving up $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and sinking it in a property and it was just sitting there.
So take us through the last property you said you just bought, the 105 that appraised for 185. How did you purchase that when you're outbidding everyone? Was it a cash offer? How was that offer brought to the realtor?
To the listing agent?
Yes.
It's cash. We use hard money.
Okay.
There is some debate on this. You can't claim it's cash if you're using hard money unless you also can close it in cash.
Gotcha.
So we write it as cash because I literally could close it in cash.
Gotcha.
But then I put hard money in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that hard money also covers, because I heard you say the contractor needed $33,000 and I'm sure he's not waiting for everything to be complete before he is getting paid and buying materials. Where is the $33,000 for his quote and his work coming from?
Maybe I'm at a slight advantage, but they bill me one time at the end of the project.
You're at a very, that's not a slight advantage. That's a huge advantage. So pretend you don't have that advantage, because I don't know a lot of people that could have a complete renovation done without putting money down. So what would the average person have to do in order to facilitate that?
So I will say there are contractors out there that do this. They are rare, but any like major operation, like, I mean, these guys do 500 houses a year. So they're not, they'll bankroll your whole project until the end if you're a good client.
Okay.
And we built that over time. So in the beginning, before I had that relationship, most contractors understand the draw process. Mm-hmm. With hard money lenders. So that's essentially, you know, you're borrowing the money for the renovation, but it's held back with the lender until the lender sends an inspector to confirm that the work was done so that they can release that payment. Most GCs understand that there's a 3 to 4 day delay on your draw, mm-hmm. and they can wait to be paid. So that's what we did in the past. I didn't have the money out of my pocket to pay them ahead of time. If you do, you can pay your GC for the work done, get reimbursed, and keep going. But if you don't have that money, you just talk to them up front and say, hey, can you wait 3 to 4 days for my draw to hit? And I'll get you paid.
Okay. That's more likely.
You have to have the money, but you have to establish that conversation up front.
Okay. So most hard money lenders, Jesse, right, do want you to have some skin in the game. Are you using your own skin, or do you leverage relationships for that down payment with the hard money?
So I personally just put my own, we call fund the gap. Mm-hmm. It's your down payment on your hard money. I fund my own gap. You definitely can raise that from a private lender. And it's a really good way to start a private lender relationship, because it's typically, I mean, it depends, you know, where you're investing, but typically under $30,000, that's a good entry point. We like to say, you know, 20, 25K, especially if you're trying to establish your relationship with someone who has more money. Mm. And we see this a lot with our students, is that all the big private money lenders will say, let's do a small one first. So if you have them fund the gap, you build that relationship, build that trust, and then you may not need private money. I mean, hard money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Especially if they're smaller projects like that. Okay. Yeah. And then you do the project. Everything's going well. You are tracking your renovation, I assume, to make sure that you stay on budget, right? Because every dollar you go over is a dollar out of your pocket.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And then are you then refinancing into a conventional loan?
I am refinancing currently into like a DSCR, debt service coverage ratio. So it's based on the actual income that the property is bringing in versus my personal financial situation.
I thought with a DSCR though, you still need the 20% down, correct?
Yeah, but you made it at it. You created.
Okay.
They're going to lend 75, right now is 75%. Some will do 80% loan to value, mm-hmm. but you've pushed the value so high that whatever they're lending you, it repays everything you owe, and the rest of it is equity you created out of thin air.
Right.
So it is still 20, 25% down, but it's the money you earned.
And then you mentioned you want to pull out funds from that refinance so you have money to go to the next one. What math needs to math in order for you to pull out funds from that refinance?
So the real quick down and dirty is that your everything you spent to get the property stabilized needs to be 75% or less of the appraised value. The new appraised value once it's renovated.
Do an example, like use easy numbers.
So one that I do is if the ARV after repair value is $140,000.
Okay.
This sounds crazy. These are deals that we buy in Columbus. Like yeah. that's real.
Yeah.
So 140K, if you are all in at 105, then that's 75% of the appraised value.
Okay.
And the way I get to that 105 is 75K purchase, 25K reno, and 5K holding costs.
Okay.
So you're in it for 105, it's worth 140. You pull out the 105 as 75% of the 140.
Right.
You have 25% equity and right. all of your money back.
Great. So that equity, that difference between 140 and 105, the DSCR lender is giving you that money back at closing.
They're giving you the 105.
Right. Okay, they give you, that's what I meant to say. They're giving you the 105.
Say that you only spent 100 to get the project complete. They'll still give you 105 because what you spent and the loan to value are not related at all. They don't care what you spent. Right.
Right.
So if you only spent 100 and the new refi lender will give you 105, you just got 5K tax free in your pocket.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then you go and do it again.
Now, because of this, you freed up your hard money, you freed up your private money because they've all been paid back.
Right.
So everyone has their money back and you go borrow it again.
Yeah. And listeners, I did not make up this word, right? This is
bigger pockets like years ago now, but like Airbnb was a thing that people can do. So while Jesse's doing it for long-term affordable housing, this is absolutely something you can do for your short-term. And I know that a lot of times people say like, I have no more capital. I have no more to do this. But if you can find a distressed property and start building these relationships, Annette and I wanted to show you that there is a way for you to continue to build your portfolio without your own money, even though, Jesse, I know you're funding your gap yourself. You know, for the BRRRR that Nick and I just did, we reached out to a friend of ours, you know, borrowed the down payment from him at, I think it was 6%. And it was, you know, and paid him back when we refinanced and all that. And so we really didn't have any money of our own in the project. We didn't pull out as much as you do, but that's okay. Because for me, like my cash flow, once the property's open, should my calculations be correct? You know what I mean? Like it's still a great deal. So anything else about the BRRRR method that you think our listeners should know? The good, the bad, the ugly.
Rates right now are hurting your cash flow. I mean, just flat out. But we know, and a lot of people go into short term because there is better cash flow. There's no doubt about it. So if you want your cake and eat it too, maybe go short term, you know, if you can get higher cash flow. But either strategy, the point is that you are holding the real estate long term.
It's like a free house.
I mean, honestly, you got all your money back. You have 25% equity that when you go sell this thing, that is your money. It's just in a house. So everyone's like, why would I do all this work so I can just break even? I'm like, you did not just break even.
Yeah.
You earned $50,000. It's just tied up in a house.
Right.
But I do think it's fair, that argument that they're saying is it is a longer term play for them or for you. The term tied up, like they're not going to be able to liquidate like probably the next day and make the money that they wanted to. So I see, like, I can see that mindset of, for short-term rental and long-term rental, like you do need to be in the game for a longer period of time for probably to have the longer you're in it, the larger the payoff is going to be for you. So depending on what their, I guess, their goals are, their strategy is there.
Every morning I wake up, I grab a cup of coffee and I log into this one website, our business banking with Relay.
If you invest in real estate, manage short-term rentals for yourself or others, flip houses, or any type of business owner, you need banking that's truly built for your business. No more fees, no more minimum balances, no more remembering hundreds of different logins and passwords, and my goodness, no more bookkeeping problems come tax season. This is why we love using Relay, and you should too. Right now, they're giving away free money.
Relay is an online banking platform that's a perfect fit for your short-term rental business. You get as many accounts as you need to organize and allocate income from things like day-to-day expenses, investments, or taxes. And again, like Sarah said, those are all free. And it's never been easier to send payments to your cleaning team, your inspection team, plumber, electrician. You can have virtual and physical Visa debit cards. You can now earn up to 3% APY with Relay savings accounts. And also Relay is FDIC insured up to $2.5 million through their banking partner, Thread Bank.
It takes less than 10 minutes to apply online, and it's absolutely free. Plus, when you fund your new Relay account, Relay will add an additional $50 to your account. That is free money, hosts. So go grab the link in the show notes and sign up with Relay today.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16,000, 17,000?
Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes, I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats, and yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know, but I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, and we know this, when we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostfully, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes. Plus our bottom line.
Yeah. So listeners, please give Hostfully's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostfully's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostfully's property management software to get $100 off.
I want to talk about, we have a lot of guests, but Jesse, you got a lot of tenants. Like, what it, like, we know, like, oh, well, like, okay, a guest canceled and that impacts, but like, Are you freaking out the first of the month every month? Like, you got 70 checks coming in. Like, what if 10% of them don't pay? Like, talk to us about that stress. Like, to me, that's a different stress level. Like, you know, we've got reservations all coming in for different lengths of time, different like peak season, shoulder season. Like, for you though, what happens around the first of the month and how do you keep all that straight? Because you self-manage. We have guests that want to cancel for miscellaneous reasons, but tell us about the emails you get about maybe my rent's not going to be on time and how do you deal with that?
There's a lot of mindset work around it, and there is a lot of systems and processes. So we have every element of resident communications in software. We use Buildium. There's Tenant Cloud. There's Inago. There's so many. Just like short term has their own software. There's software for long term. So every single bit of communication is through the app. You can't call us. You can leave a voicemail and we'll call you back.
Okay. No, this is interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every single thing comes through the app. And if someone is going to be late on rent, we just ask that they tell us ahead of time. And this is where the mindset work comes in, because we're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with people's housing. It's emotionally stressful. I mean, if someone thinks that they're on the verge of losing their housing, you know, the natural part of the brain takes over and people do crazy things. Mm-hmm. Like they'll stop talking to you or they will like yell at you. And it has nothing to do with what I did. So we just ask people, listen, we're not going to put you out if you communicate. There are so many programs out there that, you know, we'll have people get 2, 3, 4 months behind on rent and they have nowhere to go, but they are working daily on getting their rent covered. So I'm fine with it. They get caught up. They always get caught up.
Okay. How do you manage though that risk of, okay, I always know maybe X amount of people are going to be late. I mean, I'm sure that you know, I'm sure all, you know, your math and your finances, like, you know what you need to bring in every month to cover everything. And then is that when you started to grow your portfolio, like, how did you plan on, you know, the savings that you needed to have hedging? Like, okay, well, what if 10 people miss their rent for 2 months? You've got to cover that to your lenders. How have you done that math and how do you extrapolate it over months with that many properties?
So after about 10 or so doors, I kind of, you know, it was a natural progression. It wasn't like one day it just switched, but you start thinking of all your properties as a portfolio mm-hmm. instead of individual properties. So, you know, if not, and 10% not paying on time is pretty accurate, honestly. Okay. So if 10% is late, I can still pay all my mortgages. And if 10% is late for 2 months for some reason, you know, we have reserves. But the point is, like, they get caught up. That said, I am not a charity. If someone is not paying and not communicating and not making an effort, then we have processes to get them out of the property. And I don't like doing it, but, you know, sometimes people shut down and they don't try. So there's nothing I can do to help.
Right. We can't enable them.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. So we rarely make it to an eviction. I have 3 or 4 things we do ahead of time before we ever would get to an eviction.
What are the 3 or 4 things? Or are they secrets?
So first is rental assistance. That's a huge one. Payment plans. If someone can pay $200 a week, mm-hmm. in addition to, you know, getting caught up on the next month, that's fine. totally fine. You don't do it all the time, you know? So payment plans, rental assistance, and then you probably don't have to deal with this in short term. It's called cash for keys. Instead of going to an eviction, I will pay someone to just leave. And usually it's forgive their unpaid rent.
Oh, yeah. If you inherit a property, that's a thing that you can do too. If you inherit a tenant, you don't want them there.
Ask them. I've actually, so basically making them an offer financially. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm here for that actually. Yeah. Cash for keys.
Because it's going to cost less in lost rent. And,
for everybody. And that gives them some cash to find the next, like the next option
and
for
if
them.
If the reason that we're cash for keys is unpaid rent, usually we'll just forgive the balance. As long as they're gone. And it's not like, oh, well, you got till the end of the month. It's like, yeah, you have 3 days.
Right.
If you're taking this offer, you have 3 days to get out.
Okay.
And they take it. So it's pretty rare that we make it all the way to an eviction, even with 70 units. Interesting.
Which I love that, Jesse, because while I am on a mission to explain that midterm rentals are so much different than short-term when it comes to the processes that you have to go through, I also have to work on my own mindset that Sarah, like, because I, you know, I've kind of been fighting against the midterm concept because I don't want to have to be faced with an eviction. But number one, it's rare. And number two, I have friends like Jesse Lang who I can ask questions, which I want to get to that, Jesse. Like, put your hat on like you do, like, you know, I'm asking you as a short-term, midterm rental investor. And I want to know, Jesse, what do I need to do to qualify a human being to stay at my place for more than 30 days? What processes should our listeners be going through if they want someone to stay with them for more than 30 days? From what kind of, okay, background check, but what kind of background check? How long does that take? What qualifies someone as being able to afford it? And then what else do we need to know about when they check in and, you know, before they actually get the keys or the smart lock code? Talk us through all of that process.
Okay, so you got like 3 more hours? I'm teasing. The quick version. We use Zillow applications for a very specific reason. So we do not do any showings without an approved application. If you're asking someone to do your company's application and pay for it, that's never going to fly. But if you're asking them to do a Zillow application, if they don't like your unit or they don't qualify for your unit, they can use that same fee that they paid, the $39 or whatever, across thousands of other units.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
So we get very little pushback on the requirement to apply first.
I love that. I wonder if that's a little different in our world because they're not looking for a year or more home. But I like them knowing that's an option. And is using the Zillow application free for you, Jesse?
It is free for me.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay.
It's free.
Okay.
There is... if you list on Zillow, they charge, I think it's like $10 a month. So we pay it.
Is that where you list all of your units also, Jesse?
So we syndicate out of our software. We take professional photos one time once the house is complete. I use those same photos for the end of time because I'm not changing the paint color. I'm not changing the flooring. I'm not changing anything.
Okay.
So those pictures are going to be our pictures. So when someone gives their 60 days notice, I just push a button in my software and it goes live. The same photos, everything.
Love that.
And do you, we call them channels, but do you list on other than Zillow? Do you list on other platforms where people are looking for housing?
I will tell you, I don't even know because they all go through my software.
Oh, so your software
So it's
just
probably like apartments.com, similar to just like a PMS. It just pushes them to all of you.
Yeah.
Flip the switch and it's deployed to all of them.
Like, 12 or something, but I would say the ones that are the leads that are good are all through Zillow.
Okay. That's actually a good hot tip too, listeners. Zillow is a great place for a midterm rental to live too. So there's that. Okay, Jesse. So application, they like that better because the Zillow logo on it and they can use if they say get turned down by you, they can go to another landlord.
I do have a fair housing question. Like again, none of us are attorneys or like know the law back and forth, but can you require that a application must be filled out before you even do the tour?
As long as you do it to everyone, you have to treat everyone the same way.
Okay.
So like fair housing is, you know, race, religion, familial status, disabilities. Like I'm not discriminating on any of that by requiring that you give us your credentials.
Sure. But that's part of yours is like their application must be filled out before you even show them.
It just has to be for every person has to be treated the same.
Gotcha. Okay.
So just because they have a certain last name, cool. You can't have them, oh, I'll show you. But then the next applicant, I want your application first. You can't do that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Nope. And Zillow has like blurbs that you can write ahead of time. So my VA just sends the same thing to everyone. Here's our process. You have to apply.
Yeah.
It goes to everyone.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Okay. What's next? Sorry.
Application comes in. You know, we show the unit a variety of different ways, like open houses or individual showings or even self showings. It's like the person can go on their own time and look at the property. This one is controversial because you're giving someone a lockbox code, but we take some precautions on, you know, we get their ID and we get a bunch of stuff. And I figure at this point, I've saved easily 100, probably 150 showings that I haven't gone to. So I'm like, you know what? If you steal my used appliances, like,
that's the game.
It's a loss you're willing to take.
Yeah.
I've saved so much time at this point. It's fine. So they go see it. If they like it and they want to move forward, then we do their full approval process. And this is not a small task. References on employment, references on previous housing providers. We dig deep and we check that they are who they say they are and that everything lines up. They, you know, if they pass and want to move forward, I say we because I have an admin who works for me. She's not full-time, but she probably 25 to 30 hours a week. She's the one doing all these extra, you know, research and checks and balance and all that. So she will go do that research and fill out a applicant scorecard. And it literally, it's the same for every single person. How long have they been employed? There's different numbers for that, you know, different point system for that. How long were they at their last house? What's their credit score? What's their percent of on-time payments on their, you know, credit check? All that. Each one has a point associated. They tally. Black or white, is the person approved? That's it. And then she'll send it to me for final approval. I, you know, if everything checks out, I say yes. There's no reason I'd say no. And then they move in.
Is that scorecard, is that like, does your rental platform like AI kind of do all of that for you? Or is that literally the human touch of going through the scorecard?
We do the scorecard manually. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Did you create it, Jesse?
I have modified it over time from something I got like years ago.
That's fancy. Okay. Background checks, job checks, all that. Is there like a platform that you prefer, that you like? Is it within Buildium itself? Is it third party?
I mean, we collect their information and we call the employer or call the housing provider.
Okay. So you're not doing any sort of like, I don't know. I forget the one, like C4 or something like that. There's just like, there's companies that will do the background check for you. You're not doing
so
anything.
So that's all through the Zillow application. The Zillow checks their credit, background, and eviction history.
Credit,
background. Like criminal is background, criminal.
Got it. And then to make sure they can afford the place, what are you doing there? Just like credit check or their employment? Okay.
Yeah.
And you're collecting that as part of like a manual process, as part of your process. Zillow's not doing that for you.
So as part of their application, they submit all of that ahead of time.
Okay.
If they're pre-approved for a showing, they go to the showing. If they like it and want to move forward, then we do the things that a computer cannot do.
Yeah.
Human phone calls.
Right. Mm-hmm. Listeners, this is a good tip I want to share with you. So a friend of mine who has been doing strictly midterm rentals, a lot of times people, Jesse, in our world, get the leads from a platform called Furnished Finder. They aggregate from other furnished rental websites and populate kind of, it's like the Zillow for midterm rentals on furnished rentals. Yeah. But she gave me a great tip of when you get a lead and they're interested to get some sort of proof that they have a contract in town for what they say they do. Because unlike Jesse's lead who wants to live there as a home, the things that we need to think about as short-term and midterm rental hosts is that they could be coming into town for a short-term basis for illegal activity. And you want to make sure that they're actually coming into town to work for that hospital or work for that construction project or whatever that is. And so to do some deep dives to make sure, first of all, they are who they say they are. And so like taking a selfie next to their ID or something of that nature. And then of course, like you do, Jesse, calling their employer, their temporary employer, and making sure that they are who they say they are and they're doing what they say they're there to do.
Correct. And there is, you want to go like kind of one step further, because there is an entire kind of underworld of friends and family who will pretend to be.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Right. So you're like, oh, call my direct manager. This is their cell phone. And it's like, hey, Mike, I don't know, whatever. Like, you know, and we're asking the questions and they're giving all the best answers. And you're like, oh, this is so good. So yes. I mean, on like, if someone's like living with a private landlord, you can't call the company. You can't call whatever. Right. If they're with a large housing company or a large property management company, don't just call the phone number that the applicant gave you. Call the one on the website.
Yeah.
Say to the employers, oh, this is my direct manager. Call the number on the company's website and get to the right channels. So that's something we do to kind of get around like friends and family acting as a reference when maybe they're not.
Gotcha. This just happened to us on Sunday and Monday. We're recording this on whatever today is, Tuesday. Jesse, we just started using Google Vacation Homes as a channel, right? We got a lead that called in saying that they wanted to book a short-term stay for that night. And, you know, could they book with us? And we said, and honestly, our team member was like, absolutely, here's a link to book. But because it's same day, we asked them to prove their identity, especially they're not coming through a channel of some sort that kind of already has like a verification process, right? And ours would have taken a little bit of time to get that back. So long story short, the person who sent the picture of their ID, holding their ID, was not the same person who made the reservation. So like all these red flags are popping up. So listeners, I just want you to know that, like, especially if you're like trying these other sources of just, you still need to be very vigilant. I know we talk about automation, like it's this awesome, sexy thing, but at the end of the day, it's really up to you. And Jesse, I kind of love, because you love systems and processes, but it sounds like a lot of the verification process and choosing a tenant or a resident takes some manual tasks, and you take it very seriously.
Yeah, we do. And I will say some of my early mistakes that I love to talk about are that I, when it was just me, didn't take the time to do this because I'm lazy. So I was like putting the wrong people in place, like more frequently than I would like to admit. But now in the last year and a half, I don't do this process. I have it outsourced to Cassie, who she is doing everything, and she's doing it by the book. I shouldn't say this, but she'll go on their social media. She'll like look for any, like, I mean, she goes deep. She goes really deep in finding this person and like figuring out if they're legit. So when it was just me, I didn't have the bandwidth. Yeah. If it's something you think that you are not, that's not your strong suit, is like kind of being an investigator, then you could outsource it. Jesse, there's companies that do placements also.
What happens if you get someone and they, you know, she's on their social media and it's a red flag? There's something about who they are and they're not approved. Are you ever nervous about repercussions, or like, how do you handle that?
Well, anything that someone wouldn't be approved for is already published, like in our ad. I mean, she's come to me before with a couple of things like, hey, this was kind of a red flag on their social media, but I didn't have anything concrete. So you get into fair housing and I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's not cause for denial because that's not listed in our ad. And I can only go off what's listed in the ad. So it's more like for our reference. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the couple people that we move forward with that maybe had red flag, like, they're fine. You know, it's like long-term, if someone's a little bit disorganized or a little bit messy, when they move out, their stuff is gone and it's fine. You know, I can't expect someone to live in some pristine condition all the time. Right. And that's maybe something that short-term and long-term, like, I kind of have to come to terms. Like, you may walk a house and it's like lived in. It's like well-loved. But nothing that can't be fixed with, you know, a coat of paint on the next turnover.
Right, right. Yeah, my final question for you is, what's the long term? Like, you've got 70 doors. Like, is it 100? Are you going for like, are you gunning for a monetary, like monthly income? Is it a portfolio value and you want to flip the portfolio? What's kind of Jesse's long term right now, your plan with all of these properties? Because it sounds like you're kind of humming along, but as of today, what's the next step? What's that next goal to tackle?
So we have been averaging the last 3 years about 20 to 25 units a year. Probably hit that again 2024. I have some goals to like actually become a private lender for others. This is, it's far more passive. And I mean, in today's market, it's very lucrative. So, I mean, that you're, I don't want to get you in trouble, but 6%, like that was a steal, man.
He loves me. People, he loves me hard.
We're charging people 16%. So, I want to take a lot of the equity that we've created and start a lending business. I have a similar, thanks for visiting. And the hosting business. Tell me it. What is it?
Oh, hosting business. So yeah, our membership, Hosting Business Mastery Method, where people can come and learn our processes for operating a short-term rental. Right. You have it for the long-term. You're like our sister product.
Yeah. So you two were incredible inspirations and like me starting my own education platform. So that's a huge focus for me in the next 3 to 5 years is just growing that. I mean, I see what you girls do and it's super impressive. So I'm on your foothills, but that's a big goal for 2024 and the next couple of years is building out our education platform.
We'll put the link to Jesse's long-term rental. What Jesse promotes is self-management, that you can manage your own long-term rentals. You don't need a proper manager, which obviously Annette and I love that. Plus Jesse, I'm in Jesse's group because I know nothing about long-terms. I'm starting to get into the midterm rentals and I'm going to treat it just like you would a long-term. But I also love Jesse that you have calls about, analyzing deals and you're even doing some stuff in person where you're walking if you happen to live in the Columbus area. But I know your members are really all over the country, but it is a really awesome, safe community to learn about the BRRRR method, and which encompasses construction and working with vendors and contractors. And that's a tough skill to learn. And you can lose a lot of money if you're not vigilant or have a guide like yourself. So what you're doing is really great.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So that's a huge focus. You ask, kind of what's next. I'm keep building my portfolio. I mean, I say once you turn on the machine, it's really hard to turn it off.
It is.
Like I can just basically take an address and put it in our system and push a button. And like a lot of people do a lot of things to make it happen. So all I have to, and people send me deals, like all I have to do is say yes or no. And then a lot of the process happens for me. So once you build that machine, why would I turn it off? No. It's a great machine.
So the machine keeps rolling. That was my question. It's just going to keep going.
It's that. And so anyone listening out there, this is very similar to like building a co-hosting business, right? Obviously we are managing other people's properties, but when you build that system, I have found, Jesse, and tell me what you think about this with managing your 70 properties, that the more you have, you can find more support and more backup support. And so it actually gets easier.
It does. 1,000%. And because here's another reason what I teach people is if you're only doing the leasing process 2-3 times a year, you're not going to be very good at it.
Right. You're going to be sharp. Right.
When you're doing 2-3 a month, just due to what we buy and due to natural turnover, you're going to get really good at it. And it's fresh in your memory. Even if you have it all written down, which, obviously we have everything written down, but if you're doing it all the time, you don't have to refer to it every single second, And so Cassie's like a master at getting units leased.
I lied. I have one more question. When was the transition from your W-2 to full-on landlording? Is that even a thing that people say? I never even thought lord.
No, you could be
like
a lord. No,
masculine.
Screw that. You could be a lord.
When was that tipping point for you, Jesse, of leaving the W-2 behind and going all in? I've never asked you that.
So two answers. I left my W-2 in August 2018, but I've never not had active income. So a W-2 is just one version of active income. I wholesaled for 4 years. I have an education platform, which is a full-time job, as you know. So even with 70 doors, I've never not had a job because I've always had active income.
Ooh, thank you for saying that. Cause I think that's what's silly is when I even the question I just posed of like, when did you
leave your W-2 because it's funny. We scurry back to get back to the W-2 because lenders want to see a W-2. But
like your own W-2.
And tax, like it's just a whole thing to actually pay yourself W-2. But anyways, I love that you said that active because I think that gets W-2 or active gets a really like negative
connotation.
And it's like, it's fun. Like work is fun. I mean,
work is so fun.
Contributing to like the world and helping people. And right. Yeah, and making, I mean, it's funny, guy. We were at so Jesse also with my husband is on a networking, monthly networking meetup here in Columbus. And Jesse, you weren't there in November, but our speaker was just saying how like, you know, he's a CPA. He doesn't take just any client and he's really selective. And someone from the crowd made a joke like, oh, how dare you want to make money? Because the CPA was kind of just saying like, I really have to protect my time and who we work with to make sure it's the best fit. And it's funny because that does end up happening where it's like, making money is all, you know, can be a negative thing somehow. And I guess if you're doing it in the wrong way and for the wrong reasons, but I mean, you're making a living, you're helping people, you create amazing housing that's safe and reliable. You're a fantastic housing provider. So, I mean, you're doing the thing.
I think we're both, you know, partially blessed, but partially like, you know, we created it ourselves. So like I found absolutely what I love to do. Like this, like I'm in heaven. I wake up every day. I'm so excited to come to work because I get to like change people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I know you feel the exact same way. You know, you say like, yes, it's work, but I found what I love and it doesn't feel like work. It really doesn't. Cause like, I'm so excited about it. And what would I do all day? Like if I was just doing my rentals, like what would I do all day?
I don't know.
I would be so, I mean, and we travel. I still travel. You travel.
Yeah.
Like you can do both, right? You can have a thriving business and make money and travel and be a good, responsible citizen who's, you know, doing right by others. And like, you really, I hate the saying you can have it all, but like, I feel like I'm almost there.
Well, you also can create what all is for you, you know? So it doesn't have to be this gluttonous thing where you're never happy. You know, you can decide that where I'm at, like there's always going to be challenges. Ask Annette. Yep. There are days where I'm like, what am I doing and why am I doing it? But I would say,
yeah, like we're having tech issues today.
6.5 days of the week, I am flying high and it's great. Could I have more? Of course, you know, but we're not all Taylor Swift. So,
and she has bad days too.
She does. She does have bad days.
Jesse,
where can our listeners find more about you? Let's say they want to learn about the Burb Method. They want to diversify their portfolio with long-term rentals. Where can they find out all the amazing things that you're doing?
Yes. So there will be a link in the show. Yep. That it'll take you to a quick little page. We just need your email, phone number, and then we'll send you a link to our Facebook group. That is the number one place where I'm active. Our community is active. I do live stream trainings every Tuesday. You know, we bring on guests. We bring on people who are specialty on a certain topic. I teach newbies. I teach advanced, teach all these strategies that we've talked about. And that's all inside the Facebook group. So hit the link and we'll get you that link.
Yeah. Join Jesse and her group. You just unlock your success, right?
Unlocked.
Yes.
Jesse, thank you for helping us understand a little bit more. I'm still that first of the month. I'm going to text you here in a few days.
Get in our Facebook group.
So good. No, we love it. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
With that,
you're so welcome.
I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda,
who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.